time for the FTN NBA podcast. Breaking down all the news, stats, trades, and more from the exciting basketball world. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Zach Graham.
What's up, everybody? Thursday, February 16th, 2023. This is the FTN NBA podcast. Adam Pfeiffer here, Zach Graham with me, as always. Zach, we have a fun episode today. We're going to, with your tiers concept for the teams, we're going to do that, but with all, not all the players, but a majority of the players in the NBA. We have eight tiers, I believe. Yeah. There's a lot. It was a fun exercise. I'm excited to talk about it. And we also have to talk about some news we got at like 12:50 last night, early in the morning, however you want to phrase it, that surprised me, and it breaks my heart a little bit. But how are you doing on this Thursday? San Antonio, man, the losing streak. We're feeling good. Tough loss for the Cavs yesterday, though.
Yeah, and I mean, again, like we talked about on Monday, right? The Cavs were on, I think, the 7-game win streak, right?
Seven-game win streak, yeah. And they were down 28 at one point and brought it back to 6 and ended up losing by 6. But you can be down 28 against almost any team, and it's just hard to claw yourself back, let alone against Philadelphia. But terrible start, but yeah, no, I was... At the end of the day, like, you don't like moral victories, but whatever. Like, there's still 15 games above 500. I ended up not going to this game. Uh-huh. Nobody wanted to go. I don't know what the hell.
Terrible.
Nobody wanted to go to this game. Not mad, I guess, because, you know, whatever. But yeah, it was a fun little second half.
Yeah, I mean, San Antonio, like you said, now 14 game losing streak, so they're, you know.
You just love to see it. Like,
did you see Popovich going off, though?
I didn't.
So, I think, again, the greatest coach of all time. People can fight me about fucking Phil Jackson and Red Auerbach. Get the fuck out of here. So Greg Popovich, the best basketball coach of all time. Certainly in the NBA. Yeah, pop it off a little bit to the media, or in the media availability post-game. I feel like, Adam, it's like, okay, now we have almost solidified our spot here in the bottom three. Now two and a half games ahead of Charlotte, who is fourth now in the tankathon race.
Charlotte with a pivotal win yesterday.
Oh, yeah. You love to see that one. That's one of the biggest tankathon games of the year. Yeah, keep, like I told our buddy T-Panthers, keep playing those starters. Steve Clifford, keep playing them 40 minutes and keep stacking up those wins and knock
probably
yourself down.
Super confused the last couple games where he like looks to check Mason Plumlee in the game and he's not there.
but I kind of thought like, okay, like now that Pop has got, they've got them, they're down in the bottom three here, still a half game back of Houston for that worst record. Like, okay, now we can do some coaching, like try to light a fire under some of these guys now that there's no Devin Vassell around. There's no Jakob Poeltl. There's no Trey Jones. Like, it was just like, it was a little bit like refreshing for me to see Popovich like doing his thing with the media last night, because like that's something he would do. Like when they were on a losing streak, when they were good over the last 20 plus years. And like now you just haven't seen
those losing streaks of one.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 14 franchise record, probably somewhat unsurprisingly, certainly to people our age, but like, you know, and again,
do you think we get to a point? It's going to be tough. Do you think we get to a point where Pop has one more competitive season with this team? It's going to be so tough.
I mean, man, if they get Wembanyama.
If they get Wemby and Vassell's healthy, they can make a little bit of noise.
They're a play-in team at worst.
Sure.
You know, I think they could push for the play-in if they were trying this year.
And by the way, without question, unless you are not available, we have to do a live stream during the lottery.
Oh, yeah. I imagine I will be on a DFS stream that night, because I think the lottery is typically on a Tuesday. They do it before, I think it's in the second round, because it's typically like the second week of May. But yeah, the last 2 years I've been on the stream during the lottery. So yeah, I imagine, Adam, probably going to shed a tear either way, because either we get Wemby and like all of this is paid off, and I don't have to rename my dog, or like we don't.
I was gonna say we have to see the dog too.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. But yeah, Today we are going to go through, we originally had it for like four or five tiers, and I realized, you know what, this is like way too difficult. There are so many players in the NBA, so we have eight tiers to go through. It goes,
our Homer hats off. Do you want to talk about the news from last night?
I do. I'm definitely going to get to that. Okay. I just want to preface what we're doing. Sure. So the tiers are MVP caliber, All NBA, future All NBA, All Star, future All Star, and then we have great starter, you know, solid, good starter, and then Zach has his own eighth tier. I have my own. We'll get to that too. So this will be really fun. But yeah, Kevin Love and the Cavs agreed to a buyout late yesterday. Apparently, he kind of requested it leading up to their game on Wednesday against Philadelphia. We kind of talked about this during some of the episodes we did about trade speculation and everything. There were reports, not reports, but there was obviously like speculation. Okay, Kevin Love's not in the rotation. This makes sense as a player, veteran, that could be a potential buyout candidate. But then there was reports that kind of shot that down. So even though Kevin Love has not been part of the rotation for weeks now, I was still pretty surprised by this. But at the end of the day, if Kevin Love still believes he can play, one of my favorite players of all time. I do believe, while he didn't post like gaudy numbers when he joined Cleveland, his jersey will be retired without question. I tweeted the video clip this morning of him in isolation defense against Steph Curry at the end of the 2016 finals. One of the most underrated moments of that Cleveland season, that the entire franchise. I don't think people give Kevin Love the credit he deserved for that series, that game, his tenure or so. And then also for me, the fact that everything he's done for mental health awareness, that is really important to me. So between everything, he's one of my favorite players of all time. So it does suck, but would I rather have Kevin Love? You know, if the Cavs win a championship this year, I'll be pissed because Kevin Love will not be a part of it now. Yeah. Although he will be a part of it still.
Yeah, he would get one
to an extent.
He would get a ring.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, even if this young Cleveland team wins a title this year somehow, Kevin Love, even though he won't be celebrating with them, will have had something to do with it. But long-winded way of me saying, I think I would rather have Kevin Love be able to play somewhere and you know, still contribute and get minutes, even though he's important to that Cavs, you know, bench and everything. We'll see. I mean, obviously, LA is a popular team. Miami, I saw too, but shout out Kevin Love for obvious lack of a more appropriate word. Love Kevin Love. And like I said, like, if you're not a fan of the Cavs, you might not think so, but all Cavs fans would agree that his jersey will be retired, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and like, I think it's also surprising to me, like, how long he's been in Cleveland now. This is
right.
His ninth season, I think, with them.
Ninth, yeah.
So, like, almost a decade there, and, like, obviously ups and downs.
And he's been through it all, right? He's been through the tank. Remember the clips of him, like, throwing the ball
out
of the inbound pass? He's been on the really bad teams. He's been on the obvious contending teams. He's played the third role. He's had huge games. What was it, the one game he had, like, 30 in the first quarter or something? Yeah. Like, Kevin Love is, like, it's obviously like there's been comparisons with Chris Bosh when he was with LeBron, like the third player on that team can kind of, they have to change their role. Mm-hmm. And I thought Kevin Love in that 2016 finals was, you know, obviously like they don't go anywhere without Bron and Kyrie, but Kevin Love, that game seven, he had like eight offensive rebounds in the opening quarter, in the opening half. He was really active on the glass. And then defensively, on those switches against Curry late in the game, honestly like the Kyrie shot and the LeBron block, iconic. Mm-hmm. But to me, like almost as important was that sequence because A, he was all over Curry. B, he didn't foul him, and he forced a tough shot. So
the basketball gods were with him on that play. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean. Let's keep it real. Like every Cavs fan was collectively shitting when that switch happened.
I mean, how many times if you run that play out, you know, 100 times, how many times is Steph scoring? More than 2/3 of the time, I think.
Yeah, like they were down three, But there were still 40 seconds left, so you didn't act. You didn't necessarily need to take the three, but Curry had no intentions of shooting a two there. But yeah, I obviously had feelings about Kevin Love, I hope he goes to a contender. I really do. Although, to be fair, was already on a contender, but he wants to play, man. I have no qualms. Yeah. Let him play. Any thoughts on K-Love?
Nothing else really for me. Like, he's dropped off a little bit in terms of his scoring this year. Not like his averages, but his shooting efficiency is down. Yeah.
I told you, man, like weeks ago, and it pained me, but he shouldn't have been part of the rotation. And now that it's not only him not in the rotation, but about to be not on the team anymore, it's going to suck. But
yeah, lowest 3-point percentage for him since his age 24 season. That was 10 years ago. Lowest shooting percentage since the 2018-19 season, where he was shooting 17 times a game, now just 12 shots a game this season, and not getting to the free throw line either, which just somehow in the last 6 weeks or so has become like the staple like stat that I'm going to on this
are podcast. You so I see the jerseys behind you. Am I gonna see an SGA one next time? Like, guy loves himself some free throws.
And Paolo next to each other. And now Dame, apparently. But yeah, a career low free throw attempts per 36 minutes, and it's not super close. 2.8 per 36. Still shooting awesome, 89% from the free throw line, but career 5.8 attempts from the line. And he had only been below 4.3 attempts per 36 minutes in his career just once, back two seasons ago, when he went to the line three times per 36 minutes. So again, just the offensive rates coming down. I think the rebounding is as good as it ever was. Kevin Love was never the most athletic guy on the court, but he was 9 times out of 10, and maybe even more than that, the best rebounder on the floor. And it wasn't even close the way he used his body, and not just to to rebound on both ends, because again, a very good offensive rebounder as well. What he did with those rebounds and his outlet passes, like, just a step below like Wes Unseld, right? Like, he was.
Is there anybody that plays in the NBA that has a rapport with Kevin Love that loves getting out on the break with outlet passes? Might be somebody that could really, really coincide with Kevin Love pretty well.
We'll have to see.
I will say that we talked about this before. The shooting, he's been dealing with a thumb injury for a while. I said this before we hopped on the pod. I think 90% of the shooting woes have to do with that, because Kevin Love, he's been one of the best, you know, 3-point shooters in the league, especially at his position for most of his career. I don't think he suddenly just forgot how to shoot the basketball. So yeah, the Lakers, the Heat, one of these contending teams will be contacting Kevin Love. I'm sure LeBron's already texted him.
Of course those guys still talk on the regular, I would assume. 100%. Anyways. Yeah.
100%. So Kevin Love, jersey will be retired in Cleveland. One of my favorite players of all time. And we'll see where he ends up next. But let's get to these tiers, Zach. We'll start at the top. Number one tier is MVP caliber players. Yes, I have 8 players in this tier, which might be a little bit shocking. And we differ, so I'll let you go first, and I'll tell you the players that I have that you clearly don't.
Yeah, so again, I only have 5 here. I'm interested to see the other guys that you include here in the MVP caliber tier.
I also tried to put my own 9th tier of just Victor Wembanyama, but that was not possible. So,
I'm going to say, let me try to guess who you have in that.
Let's get the obvious ones out of the way first.
So the 5 I have here: Jokic, Giannis, Embiid, Luka, Jason Tatum. Not necessarily in that order, but I think those 5 probably fairly safe to be in.
So you can probably guess the 3 I have then.
I would say you're going to have KD, LeBron, and probably Steph, but I could see you putting Ja in there.
No. Ja's absolutely not. Okay. the difference was I added the 3 veterans, right? Durant, Curry, LeBron, 3 of the 10 best players we've seen over the last 20 years, 3 of the 15 best players of all time. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Like, Curry and KD were right behind Luka and Jokic in MVP before their injuries. So even at their age, like, they belong in this tier, in my opinion.
Sure.
And then LeBron, I just, like, yes, the team isn't winning, but he's 38 years old. He's putting up 30 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Like, those are MVP numbers. It's just the league is as loaded as we've ever seen. So to me, I have him at the very end of this tier. Mm-hmm. But
I just can't.
But again, as we discussed, I'm also, you know, he's my favorite player of all time. So fuck off.
I was just gonna say, like, you can't be 2/3 of the way through the season and be in the 13 seed and be in the conversation for MVP for me.
Okay, so I viewed this differently.
Okay.
I didn't view as much this year. Just these are the players that can be MVPs.
Like, like consistently.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, obviously, LeBron is not even going to be top 7 in MVP voting, most likely.
He's actually 7th in the odds, right? Or 6th, tied with Ja for 6th in the odds right now.
I would have LeBron over Ja.
I think I agree. Just because Memphis has a much better franchise structure in place at this point. And we've seen them have not just success, but last season, we talked about it so many times, even more success without Ja Morant on the court last year. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would agree.
They're deep. They went, what did they go, like 20-2 without him?
Yeah, I think near the end of the season, when they sat Ja for a couple games where they were, you know, they couldn't move their seating, and they sat some other guys along with them and lost. So I think it ended up being like 22-4. But yeah, it was like 20-1 for a while. Yeah, they were really good without him last year.
Yeah, so I think the obvious five that everybody was going to have, you know, Luka, Giannis, Jokic, Tatum, Embiid. But like I said, I added the three veterans to this tier. We know Jokic is the favorite right now, I believe, to win a third consecutive. The on-off splits are insane. There's like a 26-point differential when he's on as opposed to off the floor. It's unsurprisingly the highest in basketball. Curry's up there too with his on-off splits. We know, you know, the impact he has. So anything else to add from, you know, 7, 8 of the best players in the league?
No, let's move on to the All-NBA tier, because I think
this is where it gets fun.
I think you have more, like, I thought I had too many players, and then before we hit record, you were like, well, I have more in, like, every tier that I listed, so...
This is why it was tough, man, especially because we talk about it almost every episode. The league is as loaded as it's ever been. So it's you're going to have a lot of players in these tiers. All right, I'll start, or you start first.
All right, so
and we'll do the same thing, I guess, since I have more players.
Sure. The All-NBA, obviously, I have those three guys that you had in the MVP tier. I also have Ja Morant here, who I mentioned. And in addition to those four guys, I have four others. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander I have in this All-NBA tier. I have my guy Kawhi Leonard in this tier. Damian Lillard, who when the kind of conglomerate piece we're going to put out tomorrow with the All-Star Saturday night competitions and all of our picks here from the NBA team at FTN, I think, just a little hint, a little preview, I think Damian Lillard going to be picked by the majority of us to win that three-point competition. And then Anthony Davis rounds out this All-NBA tier for me, because when Anthony Davis has been healthy, not just this season, but throughout his career, he is an All-NBA level player. And I think the only argument against that would be last year when he put on a little bit more weight than we've been used to seeing him have on his build physically. And it pretty clearly affected, certainly his shooting from outside the paint. But he was not quite the same guy last year as he has been throughout the rest of his career. And this year, he's back to destroying worlds, again, when he's available.
Again, so I guess we, you know, I kind of factored in this year and just in general, the caliber level players these are. So my All-NBA is headlined. The number one spot is Anthony Davis, then Kawhi. Then I have Dame, SGA. So I agree with all of those players. The difference is I also added Jimmy Butler, Devin Booker. Yeah. But Jimmy Butler, Devin Booker, Paul George. I also have Ja. And then I added Siakam, because Siakam has been an All-NBA player. second team, but all NBA player, and Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, a lot of those guys you just mentioned I have in the all-star tier. Again, I think, and certainly not sitting here thinking that I am the arbiter of who should be in what tier. I just
clearly didn't like the Jimmy Butler one.
At least one of those names you mentioned won't come up in my tiers until much later. So there's a hint about somebody that you just listed. Yeah, I just think for the guys like Donovan Mitchell, Paul George, like obviously I'm a huge fan of Spider and I like PG. I just don't know if those guys every year I could say right now that they're locked in all NBA type guys. Obviously they have been all NBA before, and some of the guys that I don't have it, like I only have eight guys in the all NBA tier, and you add in the five from the MVP tier, there's still two spots missing from a potential all NBA ballot, right? With the three teams of five. So no arguments from me there, but that's just how I treated it a little bit differently. Like I think those eight I listed in my mind are surefire locks to be all NBA as long as they play the majority of the, like they qualify right with the number of games they need to play. And the guys in my all-star tier are all pretty much borderline, like for sure all-stars, but like maybe not all NBA in my mind.
Yeah. And it's also a little bit different because you have Durant, Curry, and LeBron in this tier, so you probably didn't want to overload it.
Yeah, true. Also true.
Whereas I didn't, so I added players to all NBA because I didn't have those three players in all NBA. But yeah, like some players that will make an all NBA team, I believe for the first time this season, barring anything crazy. SGA, who we've talked about on this pod a ton, just been sensational. I think he's what, like third in scoring behind Luka and Embiid?
Sounds right.
If not, he's definitely top five. Averaging over 30 points per game. I mentioned everything he does off drives. He's been unbelievable. Dame, he had 39 last game, and he would have had 40 again, but they took him out with about 3 minutes left, down by like 16. Mm-hmm. So he would have had 40 again. He has at least 35 in half of his last 20 games or 18 games. So he's been phenomenal. Carrying that team offensively, will probably have to do so more with Anthony Simons, who's apparently dealing with an injury, and Julius Randle now in this 3-point shootout.
I think like we talked about on Monday, right? The guys who sometimes with the replacements or even just getting guys for these Saturday night contests at this point, like it's even tougher to replace guys, I think, that aren't already going to be at the game because
that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Right. Like it's their vacation.
Right. Yeah. So, and then, yeah, like I had Siakam, like Siakam's been an all NBA player before.
Uh-huh. Multiple times, right?
Again. Yeah. And again, I don't believe it's been first team ever, but he's at the last spot for me in this tier. But I think he's obviously not future all NBA for me because he's been on the team before. So I didn't want to put him there. And then obviously the guys we mentioned, Brow, Kawhi, I have Harden on here. This is fun though. Like you wanted to have, first of all, Harden being an all NBA player is not a hot take, but you wanted us to kind of have some differing opinions. So it definitely sounds like we will. Anything else from all NBA? Again, I also had Devin Booker. You didn't like Butler. Why no Butler?
Let's talk about him later.
Okay. Fair enough. And then I had PG still. PG's been interesting this year because a lot of people were upset he made the All-Star team. And like, in hindsight, the numbers Paul George has this year, like they're All-Star caliber numbers. It's just, I wouldn't have put him in over, you know, guys like Fox and Edwards who got in anyway. But he's also in a different role this season. He's playing point guard essentially for them. And it's different when you've been a wing your entire career, coming off screens, coming off pin downs, coming off actions designed for you, compared to running the sets a lot more often. So I think it's been a tougher adjustment for him than it would have seemed. But he's still defensively fantastic. He's still one of the best two-way players in the league. Still think he's an all-NBA caliber player. Mitchell, with what he's done this season. I also think Donovan Mitchell, granted, and you know, spoiler alert, the Cavs fan's going to make a case for a Cleveland Cavalier. I think he got a bad rap in Utah as a defender. I think he's been really engaged defensively this season. So that only adds to it. He's been one of the best scorers, obviously. I think he's like 12 40 plus point games this season. So you know, screw it. I have Mitchell. And then of course Ja's on this tier as well. Let's go to future All NBA. I'll go first here. This was my favorite tier because it's just, you know, the young players in the league that are just amazing. So this would be, so this player leads it for me, and he would be All NBA probably if he didn't have this hamstring injury, but it's Zion Williamson. I hope he can stay healthy, because if he does, he will make an All NBA team. We've seen the flashes of him just shooting 65% from the field, scoring 27 points per game, having, again, I always bring it up, but some of the best, most overlooked facilitating abilities. Was starting to take some strides defensively before the injury. Still has ways to go, but I think we would all agree if he can stay healthy, which is all of a sudden, you know, a large question mark, he will be an All NBA player. I have his teammate Brandon Ingram here. I have Anthony Edwards here. I have Jaylen Brown. I have Cat was the one I struggled with because he might have made an All NBA team. I just don't have him in the tier of players that I listed above, so I put him here. I have Tyrese Halliburton, LaMelo Ball, Triple J, and then I have Garland and Mobley in this tier. And Mobley I struggle with. I wanted to put him in All-Star because I think putting both Cavs in future All-NBA is aggressive. But then I started writing about him, and he's 21 years old. So you can bet your ass he's going to be a future All-NBA player. He's only 21 right now. So he's literally the last player from this tier. Call me a homer. We've already established it. I don't care. Mobley and Garland are future All-NBA players.
So my tier here, again, was a little bit shorter, and I believe you named all but maybe one. If you named this guy, I missed it. So the five I had in there, Zion, of course, LaMelo, of course, Triple J, Tyrese Halliburton, Evan Mobley, and then I had Paolo Banchero in there as well.
Okay. I also should mention, I forgot to mention this player, I have Bam in this tier.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you might have trouble with where I have Bam.
Shit. You just don't like the Heat, do you, pal?
I guess I'm tired of their shtick. And again, like, I know that that team was a shot away from the NBA Finals last year. I just don't believe that they can stay healthy long enough to make another run like that. Certainly not one to the finals. Certainly not one to win at all. I don't feel like I'm a hater. Like, I respect Bam's game. I understand how good he is and how, like, he is just the center, essentially, of what, not positionally, he's the center.
I mean, I think you can make the argument he's the third best center in basketball, if you're not counting Giannis. Because Anthony Davis is a four. Unless we're counting him as a five, then Brown's better than him.
Yeah, I think I would have Anthony Davis as a five. He started at the five every time he's played this year.
Okay, then he's the fourth best center, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So he's really close with Sabonis.
Yeah, I still think I would take Bam there because of the defensive prowess.
And Bam's probably like the third. Like, I think Jokic and Sabonis are clearly the two best passing centers in basketball. I think Bam's third.
Embiid's a pretty good passer too, man. Like,
I disagree.
You don't think he's a good passer?
He's gotten a lot better. Uh-huh. There were stretches where Embiid, because he always gets doubled, he would throw the ball into the front row of the stands. Like, he is very inconsistent with his decision-making out of double teams. And that's why, like, there's been a lot of plays down the stretch in playoff games where he just gets doubled and throws the ball away. I think Embiid's a fine passer now, but he's definitely not on Jokic or Sabonis' level. I don't even think he's on like Plumlee's level, you know, like I don't even think he's there. So I would prefer Bam, but it doesn't matter because Embiid's a better player and he's one of the five best players in basketball. So
assists obviously don't just translate to, like, the more assists you have, the better passer you are. But Bam, the last two seasons, 3.4, 3.3 assists per game. Joel Embiid, 4.2, 4.1.
Who touches the ball more?
They both touch the ball a lot. And James Harden showed up and Embiid's assists went up. I don't know.
We could do a poll.
I would be interested.
The problem is we can't ask the Discord because everybody there is a Phil. Everybody there is a Philadelphia fan.
Has to be a term.
Yeah. So we'll do that. We'll do that after this. I think it'll be interesting. This was like my favorite tier because it's. And I'm actually a little bit surprised you had Mobley. So
I mean, you mentioned he's 21 and
That dude, so I'm literally in the middle of writing an article. It's just kind of like a Players on the Rise article for the site. Mobley is obviously featured. And I'm writing up all these numbers, right? Over the last 15 games, he's averaging 19.2 points, 9 rebounds, just under 3 assists. The usage rate's up. He had that 38-point game, a career high against Milwaukee. Sure, Giannis didn't play, but Brooke Lopez did. Brooke Lopez is one of the best rim-protecting centers in basketball. He constantly went right at Brooke Lopez with Euro steps, spin moves that he started to add to his repertoire. He has this fadeaway that he's starting to get really comfortable with, and they've been giving him more touches on the elbow recently. Mm-hmm. In that game where he had 38, he shot over 83% off elbow touches, and in the last 15 games, he's shooting 64% off elbow touches. So he looks a lot more comfortable on those fadeaways, facilitating. I've said this, I don't know, 712 times. His decision-making, and granted, it was actually pretty bad yesterday against Philly. He had a couple really bad turnovers. But for the most part, his decision-making out of the short pick and roll is phenomenal. And defensively, we know, like, Evan Mobley is without a doubt a top 10 defensive player in the league right now. And then I keep looking at these numbers. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, this is good. And then I'm like, oh, shit, he's 21. Like, he is... There's obviously been like the Garnett and Duncan comparisons. Like, obviously, it's a slam dunk if he's anywhere close to those two players, but he's going to be really, really good for a long time. If he was like 25, I'd be like, okay, he's probably more of like an all-star. But at just 21, he's only going to keep progressing, especially on the offensive end. Adds a little bit more weight and some more offensive moves. Like, he's not a great post-up player, and he's not somebody that's going to do anything in isolation. Most of his points come from the paint, and yesterday was kind of brutal because the Sixers just left him open for three, but at least he's taking the shots and he will get there. And if that happens, the league's in trouble. So it really came down to the fact that I'm a homer, but he's also 21, and that's why I put him in the future all NBA tier.
Yeah, and
he's also really fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, imagine if he was on a team that didn't have three other all-star caliber players on it. Like, I think statistically he would be shining a little bit more, and therefore...
And they've said, dude, Cleveland said, like, we're at our best when Evan Mobley's aggressive. Yeah. Darius Garland said something along the lines of, like, if Mobley has a mismatch, Garland wants him to tell him to just give him the ball, which that's what you want to hear. Like, obviously, Mitchell and Garland are the focal points, but if Evan Mobley can continue to be aggressive offensively, it's just going to change everything for this team. And, he is the last player in this tier for me, but... no Garland for you is interesting. I guess defensively he's not gonna, and it's tough too because there's just so many good point guards in the league. Like, Garland didn't make the All-Star team this year because it's just such a tough position to kind of separate yourself. Like, we have what, LaMelo in this tier, Tyrese Haliburton in this tier. So I guess I do understand it.
Yeah, and I kind of just like went a little bit shorter. Like, I kind of just took the guy, like, I think I was a little bit safer here, and I also discarded some of the guys. Like, I think you said you had Jaylen Brown in that tier, fair. But like, I almost put him
behind Siakam at the end of all NBA.
Mm-hmm. I think the oldest guy that I have in that tier is Triple J, because Zion, Mobley, Hallie, Banchero, LaMelo are all super young, and Triple J himself 23 years old. So yeah, he would be the oldest guy in that tier for me. So I did skew a little bit younger and kind of left out some of those other guys. You know, obviously Jaylen Brown, future all NBA, certainly in the cards. You know, I didn't have a Devin Booker in there. Devin Booker already all NBA before, but just a little bit shorter tier for me there.
We both had Anthony Edwards, right?
Nope.
You didn't have Anthony Edwards?
I have him in the All-Star tier.
Wow. That's pretty surprising to me because he's been phenomenal the last 15 games. Mm-hmm. Defensively, did you see the end of that game against Dallas where he and Jaden McDaniels were just, they just locked up Luka and Kyrie? Yeah, that was impressive. Last
play, couldn't even get a shot off.
Yeah. I think Edwards is an absolute no-brainer future All-NBA. But let's get to All-Star. You have Anthony Edwards. Who else do you have?
Yeah, so I've got Anthony Edwards there. And again, like, with Anthony Edwards, he has gotten better every year. And that's not just looking at the stats. Like, that is the eye test. He is, like, he was a black hole his rookie year. And like, I think it made sense, was 19, right? Hadn't been playing basketball as his main sport for that long. Cause again, Anthony Edwards was a football, like a monster on the gridiron. So yeah, maybe a little oversight there by me, but I think I want to see more. Like, he had Cat, obviously, who has been missing for a while. He's got Gobert there. He had D'Lo. And then I look at somebody like Tyrese Halliburton, similar age there, but on a lesser team for sure, at least to start the season with our expectations. And he was carrying that team to a playoff spot before he got hurt, and they absolutely cratered. Obviously, the Timberwolves, I think, would crater as well if Anthony Edwards was out. So he's just kind of...
You also just might be projecting Rudy Gobert is there for the next couple of years, and he won't... Anthony Edwards is just worse with Gobert on the floor, so maybe that's why I don't have him as future All-NBA.
Being a teammate with Gobert, I don't think is helping his case or anybody else on the Timberwolves for that matter. But Anthony Edwards in the All-Star tier for me. And again, a lot of these guys could be either in the All-NBA tier or the future All-NBA tier, because a lot of these guys are already extremely accomplished. Alongside Anthony Edwards, I have Devin Booker, Jaylen Brown, Paul George, James Harden, Drew Holiday, Donovan Mitchell, Pascal Siakam, Darius Garland, and Trae Young. Just those guys, again, that like I don't think are locks for all NBA every year at this point. But still, all-star level, there's 24 all-stars in the league, right? They are elite players still as things stand. So not trying to hate on any of these players. And some of them, you know, Booker, Jaylen Brown, Anthony Edwards, who we just talked about, the two Cleveland guards, definitely on their way up, ascending in this league, while you've got names like Paul George, James Harden, Drew Holiday, not necessarily like a meteoric fall in the near future, but like they're on the downside of their careers at this point, I think, at least lengthwise.
Right. For me, for the All-Star tier, this is where we definitely differed a little bit, because our future All-NBA, like our first two tier, our second and third tiers definitely were different. Right. I have Drew Holiday, Trae Young, DeMar DeRozan, Sabonis, Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, De'Aaron Fox, Laurie, Jarrett Allen. This is where I struggled with three players. Did I say Randle? I have Randle on here. And then the two Washington players, Porzingis and Beal, I did not know what to do with. Because, like, Bradley Beal is starting to kind of take a little bit of a downturn, it seems like. But also, like, I don't know if he's a future all-star. Like, I think he's that's where it's tough. Like there's a lot of players where I feel like they're definitely higher than, oh, they're just a great starter. But also not, like, definitely not future All-NBA, borderline all-star. Because we talk about it every season. Like, we have seven players every year that we make. There's articles and headlines of, oh, this player was snubbed from the All-Star game. So it is tough. I think Jalen Brunson absolutely deserves to be here. What he's done for this team, given them what they've been missing for years, especially lately how good he's been. He's just been, like, I talk about this when we talk about him when he was with Dallas. He is one of the best point guards in the entire NBA getting to his spot. He's strong. He's physical. He's crafty. Like, I love watching Jalen Brunson play. Like, Randle made the All-Star team. You can make the case Brunson should have. I have him in this tier. And, yeah, definitely Drew Holiday. Definitely Trae Young. And Sabonis, for sure. Those, like, the three locks for me were Drew Holiday, Sabonis, and Trae. Brunson might have been fourth, though, especially what he's done lately.
Yeah, no arguments there. And, again, I think, like, a lot of our differences here just because, you know, we put different numbers of players in the tiers, so I don't really have any arguments there. Again, we'll talk about somebody like Jimmy Butler later where we can definitely argue about him.
All right, let's go to future All-Star. I guess I'll go first.
Sure.
I have, this is where we get to, first of all, how many players do you have in this tier?
I have four.
Oh, wow, okay. I have seven.
Okay. I imagine you have my four.
Well, maybe not, because I think you had one player a lot higher, but I have headlining this list is Paolo for me.
Okay.
Then I
not
have
future All NBA though. Only future All Star.
I just don't.
He's fucking crushing though, dude. I know they're on a bad team, and he gets the volume.
Oh, I don't care about Orlando at all being a bad team. Okay. My issue is a lot of the players. Like, is he going to be better than any of the players I mentioned in future All NBA? I don't know, and that's why it's tough. But he's clearly number one on future All Star. Mm-hmm. Then I have Scotty Barnes, Josh Giddey, DeAndre Ayton. Who else? Alperen Şengün.
Where's Scotty Barnes? I didn't see his little player thing. He deserves to be in here for me. So there he is. Okay. He's in there for
me. Yeah, it's tough to see it sometimes. So, Paolo, Scotty, Josh Giddey, DeAndre Ayton, Tyler Hero, Tyrese Maxey, Franz, and Alperen Şengün.
Yeah. Did you mention Desmond Bain?
Oh, I do have Desmond Bain in this too. Thank you.
Yeah. So you
Desmond Bain's at the back end for me. So it's Scotty, Paolo, Giddey, Ayton, Hero, Maxey, Franz, Desmond Bain, and Alperen Şengün.
Okay. Yeah, see, like some of these guys, like DeAndre Ayton, I don't think I threw him in any tier. There's just so many, and I'm sure even though you put more players in your tiers list, there's still what, 120 players left down there, player icons we could have used. So coming through all those without a search function, certainly I left Scotty Barnes off there. And yeah,
there were two players I teetered with here.
Wait, did you say Franz?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have all, I had Bane, Giddey, Şengün, Franz, and then added Scotty. Thanks to you.
Two players I struggle with were Jordan Poole and Jalen Green.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think, like, Jalen Green's ceiling is, like, leading the NBA in scoring one day. But I just think all around a lot of these players, like Giddey, like, they're just better players.
Does the winning ever come for Jalen Green? That is the biggest question for me. And he did not make it into any tier for me because I just haven't. He shoots a lot and he scores and he's good. He's going to be a very good player. But like, I want to see more out of him from the team aspect of things because that counts in basketball, right?
Here's a fun question for this tier. Of the players either you have or the players I mentioned. So again, Scotty, Paolo, Giddey, Tyler, I have Ayton, but we'll take Ayton out. So Scotty, Paolo, Giddey, Hero, Maxey, Franz, Şengün, Bain. Who are you most excited about going forward? Other than Paolo, since you had him in All NBA or future All NBA. So I would assume he would be the number one.
Yeah. So outside of Paolo there, who I had in the future All NBA, from a like
the more I watch him, the more for me it might be Franz.
Yeah, from a personal standpoint, I really like Franz. I love all of these guys. Like, that's why it was such a kind of a concise tier for me, because I just think this entire group is, like, the future. And again, a lot of these guys came in the same class, right? But just, like, all pieces of the future of this league and, like, going to be stalwarts in this league. Like, we're going to be talking about them for a decade at least, I think, for all of these guys. If you're making me choose one, give me Josh Giddey barely over Şengün, but then Franz is right there and Desmond Bane is like, it's near impossible for me to like put these guys in any sort of order confidently. I love all of these players.
So there's a player that's not here that I actually didn't see on the list. And now I'm questioning. Now let's start a debate.
Okay.
Does Cade Cunningham belong in this list? Because I legitimately did not see his name.
Probably not, because obviously he has injuries. Not played a ton, right? Like, but in the time that he has, you know, the stats that he has put out there, the performances he has put out there, he hasn't been a good player, at least not like a winning player, right? Like 41%, I guess we'll round up, give him 42, but 31% from three. I don't know, man. And again, he's only 76 games into his career, but not even a full season of games through his first two seasons. I don't know, man. It's tough to put him in that future. Because again, like I was looking at future All-Star, like these guys are then going to get into that All-Star and or All-NBA / future All-NBA tier where like these guys are going to be around. And Cade hasn't been around much through his first 2 years. Yeah. And when he has, it hasn't been good. So probably deserves to be in that tier, albeit at the end. But clearly I wasn't like, where's Cade? I have to put him in here. And you weren't either.
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, Tyler Hero has kind of been on the cusp of the All-Star game the last couple seasons. I think he will get there. He can score from, you know, he's a three-level scorer. He can score from anywhere. Mm-hmm. Defensively, he's an absolute train wreck. Other, you know, opposing teams just look for him on defense. They get a lot of their sets against him. But again, like, there's going to be a lot of future All-Stars that aren't great on defense. It's not going to deter me from, you know, making him a future All-Star. You know, Scotty, I've had my concerns about the fit with Siakam, but the last, you know, month and a half, he's been much better. Just think he needs to, it's tough to play off ball with him a lot with Siakam because he's not, you know, teams are giving him the Ben Simmons treatment. They're just not even guarding him on the perimeter. Paolo, you can make the case I should have put him higher. Just being a little bit cautious because there's a lot of really good players still in the league, but what he's doing in his rookie season, it's something we haven't really seen since LeBron's rookie year, honestly, in terms of scoring and everything. Mm-hmm. So he's been fantastic. Maxi, I think, is, like, I talked about this to a lot of my friends that are Sixers fans last year. Like, I would, like, just give Maxi the max now. I think he's a max player, borderline. I think he's fantastic. And, yeah, the two players I struggle with were Jordan Poole. Like, the inconsistencies are kind of tough for me. And then Şengün, we've seen the Rockets play through him more the last, you know, 20 games. Triple handoffs with Jalen Green. You know, he's getting like the Diet Jokic comps.
Yeah. Hey, look, 2 years sense ago, too, because if you did tiers for the Turkish League, Şengün was at the top in the MVP tier because he won the MVP when he was 17 or 18. Like,
he is. I'm sure you've watched a lot of him offensively. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched him try to get back in transition?
Yeah.
It is comical. Yeah.
He cannot move. It is so funny.
It's so funny. And yeah, I'm glad you reminded me that I have Desmond Bane in this tier because I'm a huge fan of Desmond Bane. Facilitating wise, he's taking a step forward this season. He's obviously dealt with injuries to start the season, but really the only player on their starting five that can shoot. So
and you did not have Jordan Poole in this tier, right?
I debated it. I ended up not putting him in this tier.
Because that is the correct decision. Jordan Poole, I don't think will ever be an All-Star. I think he's going to struggle to be anything more than what he is right now. And that's still a really good player. You know, Sixth Man of the Year candidate. Very, very good scorer. Almost in that elite tier. But I don't think anybody liked playing with him. And again, I think he's fairly limited in terms of how he can grow his game from what it already is. But maybe I'm mistaken.
This is where we see a lot of players, these next two tiers. So we have great starter, then however you want to phrase it, solid, good starter, whatever. Do you know how many players you have in this great starter tier?
I have 11 in each of these, great starters and good starters.
Okay. I have more in great starter, but not by an insane amount, and I want to see where we differ. So, you go first.
All right. Obviously, some of these you have already mentioned in the tiers above.
I guess that's a reason you also have only 11.
Tiers, yeah. So. Yeah. So in great starters for me, I have Bam. I have Jared Allen. I have Chris Middleton. I have Mikal Bridges. I have DeJounte.
Yes, 45-point Mikal Bridges.
I have DeJounte Murray. I have Jamal Murray. I have Domantas Sabonis. I have Brandon Ingram. I have Jalen Brunson. Kristaps Porzingis. And Julius Randle, who I think could easily be down in the good starter tier, but I gave him the great starter. Not.
The only difference is most of the players you listed are in my all-star tier, but the players we do have that I have as great starters that we both have, Middleton, Bridges, Jamal Murray, and DeJounte Murray. And then for me, like, I have, so this is where we differ. I think these players are great starters. That's why they're in my tier. I think Marcus Smart is a great starter. I think OG Anunoby is a great starter.
You just listed off the top two in my good starters tier.
Yeah. I have all three Warriors. Actually, no, I don't have I have Wiggins in this tier. I think when healthy, he's great. Yeah.
All three Warriors are in my good tier. I know which three you're talking about.
Yeah. And then I have Jamal Murray. I have Brook Lopez in this tier. I think Brook Lopez has been great the last couple of seasons. So, and then I have, You know who I struggle with really badly? Mm-hmm. Chris Paul.
Yeah, he didn't. He just didn't even make any of my tiers.
Okay.
Obviously, again, it's not taken away from Chris Paul's first ballot Hall of Fame career. He just didn't really fit into any of these for me. Obviously, he has been at like every level, every tier at some point in his career, he has fit into, I think.
Yeah, so mine ends up being DeJounte, Draymond, Wiggins, Bridges, Smart, Middleton, OG, Brooke Lopez, Jamal Murray, DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, no arguments there.
And there are players I struggle with. I struggled with Vucevic, but he has been meh this year. Mm-hmm. I struggled with Van Vliet, also been very meh this year. You do this exercise last year. He's definitely an at least great starter. Mm-hmm. McCollum hasn't been consistent enough or good enough to make this tier for me. And then I also struggle with Aaron Gordon, but I think when he's not playing with Jokic, he's a good starter. So if you want to kind of like pinpoint it like that, he's a great starter with Jokic. He's a great fit with him. Elsewhere, I think he's a good starter. So I kind of just put him in good starters because in a vacuum, when he's not playing with the best passer of all time, he's good. He's having a career season this year. I think Jokic has a lot to do with that. So,
yeah, he was, if I can be so bold and jump into my good starters tier, he is in there. Like I mentioned, OG Anunoby, Marcus Smart, Aaron Gordon in there. Then I have Tyler Hero, CJ McCollum, Jordan Poole, Anthony Simons, Fred VanVleet, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, and the Time Lord round out my good starters tier. And obviously this tier could be 58 players. Limited it a little bit.
Surprise, surprise. Guess who's in this tier for me?
Chetty Osman? Isaac Okoro?
No. Jeremy Grant.
Okay, yeah. He was like, I had him in there, and then it created that second like line, and I didn't like the way it looked, so I took him out. But he definitely belongs in good starters. No doubt about it.
I have Jeremy Grant. This one I struggle with because he's coming off the bench. I think if he was asked to start, he'd be good. Malcolm Brogdon. It's crazy that this is the tier he's in. I also have Simons in this tier like you do. I also have Time Lord in this tier like you do. I have Miles Turner in this tier. Isn't it crazy that this player is in this tier? RJ Barrett. Like, we would be hoping for higher up for RJ Barrett. But, I also have Dinwiddie. I think Dinwiddie's good, man. I agree. Dinwiddie's a good starter.
I agree.
So I have Dinwiddie, Brogdon, Jeremy Grant, RJ Barrett, Simons, Time Lord, Miles Turner. 2 years ago, we'll talk about it. And then I really wanted to put Lou Dort here, but I ended up not putting him there. And then the players that were on the borderline for me were like Claxton, Buddy Hield. Oh no, I have Bojan in this tier. Bojan's a really good starter.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have Bojan Bogdanovic in this tier, Van Vliet in this tier, like you mentioned. So a handful of the players that I had in, or you had in great starter, or vice versa. It's confusing. But I think a lot of these players, you feel great about being in your rotation playing 35 minutes, right? I would love to have Jeremy Grant playing 35 minutes for my team. He's played in multiple roles. He's a good defender. He's emerged into a really, really reliable spot-up shooter. And then you have who else in this tier? We've seen what Claxton and Time Lord do defensively. The difference being, who would you rather have, actually? It's really interesting. They do a lot of the same things. I think Claxton's a better pure rim protector, and Time Lord's just better off ball as a free safety kind of roaming. The difference is one of those players you feel fine about playing the fourth quarter because he can shoot 75% from the free throw line. Claxton can't shoot 50% from the free throw line.
Yeah, that's certainly a roadblock there to getting to Claxton. But I think like if I'm signing one to a contract that's longer than one season, I'm taking Claxton at this point because Time Lord's health is just, I think, unfortunately might be an issue for him the rest of his career with the way the Celtics ran him into the ground last year and, you know, kind of almost Isaiah Thomas'd him where like, oh yeah, you can't make it worse by playing on it. It's like, well, okay. And now we're seeing this year, right? Like, they brought him off the bench the other night and then he sat out the second half of the back to back. Yeah, that's my concern on Time Lord there versus Claxton. But obviously both of those guys, very promising young centers, especially defensively.
What do you think of RJ Barrett? It was a tough spot, right? He's the second pick or third. No, it was Zion Ja, RJ. Yeah. Like, obviously tough to live up to two of the best prospects we've seen in a long time. I don't follow this team. I'm not invested in this team enough to be like watching all these games, but he's clearly been, if you ask most fans of this team, he's mostly been viewed as a disappointment. And like the 3-point shot has been, I mean, obviously that's how it works. It's been hit or miss, but it's just been very inconsistent. And we've had, I forget who's in Discord that talks about how he's sometimes not even in the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, shout out Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy. It's like, that's weird, especially on a Tom Thibodeau team where he usually plays 39 minutes. Some games he doesn't play in the fourth quarter for you know, poor play. It's just been, and again, remember, this was my most improved choice entering the season. That is not going to hit.
Yeah, not quite. So he's just, I think he's just mediocre, and that's why I couldn't put him in the starters category, or the good starters category, because 43% from the field, 32% from three from a guy who is supposed to be a shooter. Yeah, I mean, and I
just realized something.
What's that?
You still haven't mentioned Jimmy fucking Butler.
Yeah, I know. I told you we were going to talk about him much later. Yeah.
All right.
Let's get to that. Now, what's your eighth tier? Because that's where we, you know, we change, we split, we have our own special.
I did. So my eighth tier, I just did because I didn't want to put every player on this in this exercise, but I did want to do a tier for like ideal, really good six man. Uh-huh. So that tier, Jordan Clarkson, Cameron Johnson, Eric Gordon, Alex Caruso, Terrence Mann, Russell Westbrook. You could either put whatever Celtics guard you want, either Derek White or Brogdon, I have in this tier. Markelle Fultz, who I know you like. Mm-hmm. Colin Sexton. And then you can make a case for a lot of these players that are left. Josh Green, Kevin Porter Jr., Christian Woods in this tier for me. I think he's a great six man because he can get you 20 on almost any game. And then like there's players that I think I would like as my sixth man to be fine with it. Bobby Portis is in this tier. That's mostly it. And then there's players that like I forgot about because I haven't played so like Lonzo. You know, like if Lonzo's healthy, he's in this exercise. He's somewhere. I just don't know where.
Dude, if he's healthy, I think Lonzo's in the great starters tier for me. I'm a huge Lonzo.
Yeah, he'd
fan.
Probably be in the back end of that for me.
Yeah.
And Michael Porter Jr., I would rather have him as a six man. So I think he'd be an ideal six man.
You ready for my tier?
Yeah, I already know what it is, but you can tell the audience.
So I changed it a little bit. Initially, it was cut his ass tier. None of these guys that ended up here for me are really cuttable assets, so I just changed it to trade his ass. And Okay. Yes, there's Bradley Beal is in here. You can't trade his ass without his consent. But
How many players do you have?
Six.
Can I guess the other ones?
Yes.
So you said Beal.
Yes.
So Butler's obviously in this tier. Tobias.
No.
Westbrook.
No.
All right, I don't know that.
All right. So Bradley Beal, first starters, obviously has that no trade clause, so he can stay in Washington and keep collecting these between $43 and $57 million annual salaries that they are now on the hook for. I mean, you think Bradley Beal in 2026 is going to decline that $57.1 million player option? No. So yeah, I mean, I just think the Wizards really screwed themselves. And, like, again, we've talked about their front office and how they seem to be just completely averse to making even the simplest competent basketball move, with whether it's draft picks or contract extensions or free agent signings or trades. This team is not going anywhere with Bradley Beal on the hook for the money that he is, unless the owners are all of a sudden ready to go into some sort of massive luxury tax spending. They should have tried to, and again, they can't without his blessing, but I think they should be trying to move Bradley Beal for almost anything that they can. Like, you're not going to get the value back you would expect trading somebody on a contract like he is, but, like, Bradley Beal at this point, Adam, right? How much longer do we need to see Bradley Beal in the NBA before we know that he's not a number one? And I don't think he's a number two on a championship caliber team. I think he's a number three, and I think, like, that is the best case scenario. This is year 10 for him, man. Like, he'll be 30 next year. I'm not a big Bradley Beal guy, and I think the Wizards, again, have screwed themselves. Trade his ass if he can.
Yeah, like, I had him at, like, on the borderline of great to all-star. I'm definitely not going to have him at all-star, but he's obviously dealt with some injuries. But yeah, like, I would have liked to see, like, Washington and Portland make a deal. But then it's kind of, like, repetitive because, like, you have Simon. So, but, like, just to give Dame somebody.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't, like, I felt the same, that they should have at least tried to make some move. There was obviously, you know, maybe they should have made that move that could have been there. You know, there was a lot of speculation with Philly with Bradley Beal for a while. Mm-hmm. It definitely seems like it's, you know, they missed their chance, though.
Well, it's just like, I mean, and to his credit, 37% from three this year. That's the highest since his age 24 season back in 2017-18. He's shooting 52% from the field. That's a career high. That's over 6 percentage points better than his career average from the field. But it's still, and again, only played 35 games this season, only played 40 last year. He can't stay healthy. And, like, even if his efficiency is up this year, okay, that's great. What is it doing for your team on the court? Because this team is not trying to tank. They're trying to win. And they're 27-30, and I'm not a believer. So he's in the trade his ass tier. And then we'll go ahead and talk about Jimmy Butler. I think I've put him in trades multiple times here on the podcast. And yeah, I just think he should firmly be in the trade his ass category, because not dissimilar from Bradley Beal, and almost maybe worse, given that Jimmy Butler's availability. I mean, this guy has played more than 59 games once since 2016. The availability is just not there. He can't shoot for shit. 32% from three on his career. Hasn't been above 30% since 2018 from three. And again, it's never on a ton of volume. He's just declining as a player, specifically because of his health and his age. Jimmy Butler will be 34 by the time next season starts, and Miami on the hook for $37.6 million this year, $45.1 million next year, $48.7 million in 2024-25, and then 25-26. You think Jimmy Butler at age 37 is going to decline his $52.4 million player option? No. So, like, Miami is screwed if they have to use about half of their salary cap. And by that point, I think it'll be a little bit less than half their salary cap on Jimmy Butler, excuse me. But, like, it is very un-Pat Riley. And maybe he did. Maybe he did go sniff around for any potential offers, because I do think that there are some teams out there that are just below that top tier of, like, Boston and Milwaukee. And, like, obviously Phoenix just got there with the Kevin Durant trade. So, like, I think there's teams frisky enough to at least consider taking on Jimmy Butler in that contract if it would push them over the top to be a contender. But, like, again, I even said it earlier this episode, I don't see it with Miami, and Jimmy Butler and his contract is just going to be worse and worse with each passing day. So trade his ass. You should have done it at the deadline. We discussed Jimmy Butler potentially for Michael Porter Jr. and pieces. And Michael Porter Jr. is the third of these six players here in the trade his ass tier.
Are the, and real quick, the other three I'm gonna guess. Okay. I think I found
okay.
out. Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert is in there, yes.
And the three players from the Bulls.
There's Zach LaVine is in there. And then there is a sixth player, but specifically okay. here for MPJ. Again, obviously.
Michael Porter Jr. interesting here, though, because like everybody else is a veteran. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's technically a veteran, but I think I know where you're going with this, and it's.
Well, he's got the fucking back health of a veteran, too. Like maybe more of an right. NFL veteran rather than an NBA veteran. This guy clearly cannot stay healthy and done a little bit better job of it this year. He's back to just above 40% from three, which, again, is just about all this guy does. We're going back to free throws here. But, again, if you are a 6'10", 24-year-old max player, again, MPJ, the Nuggets on the hook here for $31 million this year, $33.5 million the next year, $36 million in 24-25, 38 in 25-26, 41 in 26-27. Is Michael Porter Jr. going to be able to stand up by 2027? Like, again, I think that Michael Porter Jr. could put up better raw stats without, like, on a team that doesn't have Jokic touching the ball as much as he does, Jamal Murray when he's healthy taking a ton of shots, and Aaron Gordon in there is like the fourth option on offense. Obviously, their starting lineup is loaded, but I said it on Monday, I've said it before then, and I will continue to say it. Michael Porter Jr. is obviously, it's all relative. He is one of the best basketball players in the world. That's no question. But like when we're just talking about the NBA, he's a glorified 3-and-D guy at this point of his career. Without the defense and paying him $41 million 5 years from now just seems like a terrible idea. So, like, again, this is why I kind of like that MPJ for Jimmy Butler trade where neither team is really getting rid of the bad contract aspect, but Jimmy Butler fits, for me, the timeline of Denver going after a title a little bit more seamlessly, I think, than Michael Porter Jr. does. And then Michael Porter Jr., you get the youth. He's 10 years younger than Jimmy Butler, even though they might end up retiring at the same time because of the health issues there. So Michael Porter Jr., trade his ass before he can't play anymore. And then, you know, mention Rudy Gobert.
Do we have to say anything?
Yeah, I mean, you can't cut him. It's obviously even harder to trade him. And the best option at this point probably is just try to make it work. Because of how much
they you know who we should trade him to?
Oh.
The 1990s. That's who we should trade him to. Trade him to the 1990s.
That's the best trade idea for Rudy Gobert I have heard yet. So yeah, I don't think I need to say much about Gobert. Zach LaVine, again, we had heard last year
Bulls were the biggest joke at the deadline.
Well, and like we had heard last season from a friend of a friend who was in the know that Zach LaVine was done with Chicago, did not want to be there, didn't like it. And we saw him sign the offer sheet, right, previously with the Sacramento Kings a few years back. And then Chicago went and I believe extended him again this offseason, right? Like you look at his contract now, kicking in and, yes, signed that. Where's his other extension? Signed a multi-year contract July 2022. So just this past offseason, they extended him. He's getting $37 million this year, $40 million next year, $43 million the season after that, $46 million in 25-26. And again, do you think Zach LaVine in 2026-2027 is turning down the $49 million player option that he has? That will be his age 32 season. And the fact that we knew he didn't want to be there, they signed him. And then 3 months into the season, the rumor comes out again, Zach LaVine wants out. So, like, the Bulls fucked up by extending him. I think they fucked up by just signing him in the first place. I know, you know, it's more complicated than that, or just not as simple as that. But I don't know, man. I just don't think he's a good piece for a team that's trying to be a contender. And obviously, the Bulls coming into last year were trying to do that with the moves they made. So again, I thought they probably did try to move him at the deadline and just had no takers. So I think they're in trouble. Trade his ass. And then the last one here, his ass was just traded. But I think they should probably have tried to trade him again. It's Kyrie Irving. Like, it's just, he's too much of a wild card. And let's put all of that bullshit that comes along, that baggage that comes along with Kyrie Irving, let's put that aside. What has he done without the services of LeBron James as the leader of his team? What has he done that has been successful in this league in terms of anything that counts, right? Playoff wins, playoff series wins, championships. Again, he has a championship, but he's been coasting off of that shot he hit. And I'm not taking anything away from the shot that he hit in those finals. But like, how many years do we let this guy get away with it? Like, and continue to say that he's some sort of like elite basketball player in the NBA sense, right? Again, it's all relative, but he has basically just torched everything on the way out of town from Cleveland to Boston to Brooklyn. And there's no way we can just, anybody can say with confidence that this Dallas experiment is going to end in a positive light, just because we have not ever, ever seen it in Kyrie Irving's career. So like, clearly trade deadline's over. He's a free agent. Like, either Dallas will extend him or he'll go elsewhere. So you can't trade his ass at this point, but like, he's still in this tier because he just, I don't think he belongs. He's not going to fit on a team. Like, his honeymoon phase now. We'll see in about, like, let's check in on that in a month. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I had Kyrie in the All-Star tier. Just phenomenal basketball player. But like, yeah, I mean, I experienced it firsthand. I mean, he and LeBron were unbelievable in that 2016 mm-hmm. season and their entire tenure together. But especially in that 2016 season in the finals, where they both had 41 in that game six. And then obviously in game seven, some of the shots he made, and of course the shot. But yeah, we've talked about this fit with Dallas. I just think it's, you know, the idea of let's bring in an incredibly gifted basketball player to help Luka. I think it's more so, obviously they hope that it works out and they hope that it can get them, because theoretically you can make the argument, okay, if Luka almost single-handedly took us to the NBA Finals last year, adding a player as talented as Kyrie can only help, but it's not exactly how it works all the time.
With Kyrie.
I think it's just more so like, we talked about this, 2 years, Luka can go sign it somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's like, let's just, we have to show Luka we're doing everything. Right. Because there was the reports about Luka saying like he needs more help. And then of course the mural in Dallas. So like, it's not lost on this organization that the comparisons have been made, but it's so hard not to. It's so similar to LeBron's first time he left Cleveland.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, we have this all generational player. We're trying to add different pieces around him. Like, and think about like what the Cavs added, right? Larry Hughes, Wally Szczerbiak, you know, past his prime Shaq, Antoine Jameson, Ben Wallace. Like they've tried to add so many players to try to get LeBron help and get him over the top. Didn't work out, and LeBron said, you know what? And he went to Miami. I don't think Dallas wants that same sort of situation to happen to their generational player in Luka Doncic. So we'll see. We both have had our trepidation about the fit. We've seen it already, right? We've seen them both just put up ridiculous performances offensively. They're both incredible, but it led to these like 135 to 125 losses. Yeah.
Let's not get it twisted. Kyrie, like all the things I'm saying, like it's 12th year in the league now. Again, he just hasn't done anything in terms of like, for me, like the results that are going to get him the respect of the all-time greats, right? You have to have team success. You have to win rings. And with those things, you're going to get individual accolades. And he just doesn't get that really outside of all-star appearances, which he absolutely deserves because he fits that game style perfectly. And I'm not trying to say that he's not, again, his control around the rim. Is it the fucking play that he had on Kawhi the other night, dude?
I don't know how the fuck he did that. Yeah,
Kawhi, who's palmed the ball and typically like will just snatch that out of the air or certainly not let somebody get that shot off.
There's a reason they call him the Claw.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter in this play. I don't know.
Like, unbelievable body control.
That that play has not gotten the recognition that I think it deserved because I don't understand physically how he did it.
I agree.
If anybody didn't watch it, so Kyrie went, drove to the basket, went for like a contested floating layup. Kawhi pretty much hit the ball with his hand and was holding onto the ball. And Kyrie still maintained his position in midair until Kawhi wasn't holding the ball anymore and forced this crazy layup over him and made it. I don't understand how he did it. I have no idea.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And even like even more impressive maybe to watch it in slow motion from the baseline angle.
Yeah.
And then he gets up because this guy does it all the time, right? He just gets up, runs back down the court, like, you know, no big deal. And so, again, I'm not saying that Kyrie isn't a very, very good player and an elite scorer. And, again, with his control around the rim, it's his layup package, as they say, is, you know, one of the best of all time. But when we're talking about these eight tiers and, like, the top-end basketball players here in the association, like, we got to pick nits. And, like, there's some pretty clear big ones with Kyrie, the off-the-court stuff not even included.
This was fun, though. Mm-hmm. It's tough, man. Like, there's just so many really, really good players in the association. But it was definitely a fun exercise. We have today's Thursday, final slate of games before the All-Star break. I think we have three games today. And then, what, 8 days without basketball? I mean, NBA basketball. But we'll have, obviously, the All-Star festivities.
Yeah. I mean, celebrity rising stars on Friday, the three competitions.
Get to watch Mobley. That's always fun.
The three competitions on Saturday, the game with the, you know, at the park style draft beforehand, that'll be fun to watch.
On the site, we'll have our, some of the staff members with their,
our Saturday night picks,
their predictions.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm probably going to hedge or not hedge. I'm probably going to go away from everybody choosing Dame.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking the same.
Yeah, I don't know who yet, but it's not like even adding Julius Randle in place of Simons, it's not like this is a weak field of players. Yeah. I mean, it'll be fun. I think I'm more excited about that than the dunk contest, and it's not because of the players that are in it. I think they're going to surprise us. Mm-hmm. I was just so excited to watch Shaedon Sharpe.
Same.
Like, if Shaedon Sharpe was in it, he would win in a landslide. I really don't know if anybody can.
You would think
can match him, but we'll see. It'll be what is it? KJ Martin, Mac McClung,
Jericho Sims, Trey Murphy.
Trey Murphy, more known for his shooting, but
yeah.
He threw a couple thunderous dunks down against the Cavs the other day, so it'll be fun. Content-wise, obviously, won't have all the NBA DFS stuff during the All-Star break, but I'll be doing some overall basketball articles. We have other sports, PGA, doing some off-season football stuff already now as well, so ton of content at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets. That'll do it for us. For Zach, I'm Adam. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Have a great All-Star weekend. We'll have some more pods next week, despite no games being played. And we will see you next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the FTN NBA podcast. Be sure to follow the hosts on Twitter @APPfeiffer24 and KAWissenbergDFS.